Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. I hope you are well. If you are a regular listener, you will know that Richie and I have just moved house, and I wanted to say a big thank you for all your lovely messages. We are very excited about it and we'll be sharing an episode devoted to the house move soon. But this week I have a wonderful guest. I am chatting with mixed media artist Janet Skates. What a beautiful human. As we chatted, it truly felt like I was having coffee with an old friend. So if you are falling into comparison traps and being hard on yourself, I urge you to take a listen to this one. Janet talks about dealing with self-doubt, getting out of creative ruts, and keeping social media in balance. There's also great tips about transitioning to being a full-time artist, using Instagram to grow your audience, and getting started with art journaling. After you've listened to this conversation, you'll feel like you've been given a big hug. Well, at least that's how I felt. I really hope that you enjoy it, but before we get started, I have one thing that I want to share, and it is a big thing. Right now, the Black Friday sale is happening, and this is the biggest sale that I have during the year on my online classes. So if you've had your eye on a class, now is the time. Head on over to laurahornart.com/classes, and you can save up to 50% on class bundles and 30% on individual mini classes. All of the details are over on the website, so I won't say too much more, but do hurry because the sale ends at 11:59 p.m. EST, that's an American time zone, and it's Saturday the 28th of November, that's when it ends. So with that said, let's dive into the conversation with Janet Skates. So let's begin by going back, and can you tell me, when did you first become interested in painting?
My first experience painting besides school, I'm thinking I took a job in high school and I was working at an art store, and I was preparing painting kits for participants. They were doing like toll painting packages and things like that. And so I would put the kits together, and that was really my first introduction into acrylic painting and oil painting, as an adult, watching the classes that they had there at the studio. Oh, it just lit a fire. Now, I had already been drawing and doing pastel work. I even took a class outside of school when I was like 11 or 12. I mean, I was an art-driven person as long as I can remember. I mean, as long as I can remember, that's been my passion. My colors, from crayons to watercolors, you know. But then on into actual canvas painting and acrylics and oils, that was probably my biggest introduction there. And that's when I started painting.
That sounds like a brilliant place to work.
Yes, it was a brilliant place to work. The exposure, you know, and the people that were there, I mean, most of them were hobbyists, but there were some teachers that came in that were just brilliant, beautiful work. And that really inspired me to learn and to get going on it. And so I was very fortunate.
And what were your first paintings like? Are they similar to what you do now, or has your style evolved quite a bit?
My style has evolved a lot over the years. I'm 54 now. So I was 15 or 16 when I was working at the art shop. So I've had decades, you know, for my artwork to evolve and to come into the style that it is now, which is kind of funny, because I was talking with a friend this morning. We were social distancing on the porch, a painter here in the city where I live. And I said, I'm going through a transition right now, just a style transition. I feel it. You know, there's a tension and there's a pull, and I feel it. And so I'm excited about that, because I do, you know, my work does shift, and it's shifting right now. But my style years ago, I think it was even more. It was less less line work. The colors have always been quite brilliant. I do quite a bit with color. I do some more muted pieces as well, but I am pretty color, bold color. But I see that shifting now. I was saying I painted yesterday for 3 hours with three colors, black and white and pink, and I painted for 3 hours. So
it's interesting that you say that, because that was one of my questions that I was going to ask you, was whether or not you had ever explored working with, you know, more muted color palettes or limited color palettes, or whether it's always been bold, bright, and colorful.
No, it has been. I have done more muted palettes, and I think I'm steering that way again. And it may be the change in the seasons. I mean, here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're moving into winter. And so maybe that's something, I don't know. Nature really inspires me. That's my biggest inspiration for my work. And, you know, things now, they're changing. I'm seeing those autumn colors come in, and I'm seeing the bright summer colors are kind of, you know, they're dying away and things. Maybe that has a bit of an influence as well. But I also just, I think my mind now is craving the simplicity, the less intricacy. And that's, I'm just supposing on that. But I know right now things are really anxious here with COVID. And of course, with politics here, things are just, there's a lot going on around us right now. And so my mind feels like it's being drawn to a much more gentle, a gentler artwork presentation. So that's kind of what I'm exploring right now.
I love that idea of your art changing with, you know, your circumstances or what you're going through, and your art being something that nourishes you depending on what you need. Yeah. Now, I want to backtrack a bit, because I've realized there's a big jump there. You were mentioning how you were working in an art shop and you got introduced to different materials and teachers. And I want to fill in that gap to from there to where you are now, because it's quite a big one. And I know that people listening will want to know, how did you get to where you are now?
So from there, I went into college, and I actually started an art study program in college at the university here. And I was miserable. I hated it. I did not like it at all. It just, it wasn't a good fit for me. It just wasn't connecting for me. And I think it does for some people and it doesn't for others. And so I didn't pursue art in that formal education. I steered away from that. But over the years, I was able to study with various teachers and in different places, and pick up things, you know, from different style classes. I took a silk painting class when I lived in Japan, and that was brilliant. I mean, nothing like it have I ever studied here in the States. And so I took that. And then when I lived in Singapore for several years, I did art classes there with some different teachers. So just opportunities to pick up things that all contributed to the formation of my style, but mainly what led me to where I am today was a lot of hard work. and it was a lot of mediocre and some really bad paintings, lots of paintings. And I tell people that every time I do a workshop or talk with people that send questions. You have to do a lot of artwork to really become confident and secure in your expression. You know, learn the rules so that you can break them. That's cliche, but it's true too. And so there's a lot of years in there. I was raising children in there, so that was a big period of time that I probably didn't get a lot of development in my art, practice. I have 3 boys in 4 years. So I was busy with that for a long time, but then I returned to my artwork, really in depth, probably 10, 12 years ago. And I had some friends ask for commission pieces, and I started showing my artwork in a local restaurant that's owned by a friend, and it took off from there. And when I figured out people, they really enjoy this and it speaks to people, then I thought, you know, I can work that and enjoy working it. But then I was still working and at a day job. And so I found probably 6-7 years ago, I went full time into artwork. And I can't imagine going back. I love it. I love it. But it is a lot of work, you know. Lots of hats. You wear lots of hats as an artist, of course, on your own. But that's kind of, does that help you? That brought me here. Okay.
Yeah. Now I have an understanding, and everyone else who's listening will know a bit about your background. And as you were talking, questions were popping into my head. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, how did you know when to go into art full time? Like, what was that process like for you? Because many people who are listening to this are in that stage where they're thinking about, you know, setting up an online shop or making more of a business out of their art.
Yes, and that's a really good question. And for me, it wasn't just about the money. Although we're a dual income, you know, couple. And so that certainly plays into it. And you need to know that if you're working a job and you want, you know, I don't advocate just quitting your job and starting on your artwork until you get a good feel for, am I presenting a product that that will sell? And you need to learn about your price points, and you need to learn about the best way to communicate with your buyers and where to present your work. And do you need a website, or do you need social media, or do you want to do local art shows? Lots of people. That's a great way to get started and kind of feel out if that can be a viable source of income for you. So I recommend. And I know we go, you know, different schools of thought. Some are like, oh, you got to take the plunge, just jump, quit your job and start your career. And then others, you know, I think that we can be daring and brave, but we can also be wise, you know, and make those choices with some thought rather than just blindly, you know, moving into them. So, I'm trying to think. When I started, like I said, I started locally, and then I discovered I had some Facebook, you know, I would post some paintings on Facebook. But when I discovered Instagram, I thought this can be a platform for me to sell artwork and reach people that I couldn't reach otherwise. I mean, there's just no way, you know, locally. And it's been brilliant for me. I set out with a plan. I put sticky notes up on my wall, and I was still working at the time. I think I was working. I forgot. Anyway, I put sticky notes up on the wall, and I said, I want to reach 1,000 followers by this time, and 2,000 and 3,000, and then 10,000, and then 25,000. That was my goal, you know. And it wasn't just about the numbers. You know, that was a motivation for me to really work the Instagram and learn what I could, the ins and outs. But it has allowed me to reach clientele all over the world. I mean, I ship artwork every month all over the world. And I'm so fortunate. I couldn't have done that pre-social media, you know. So that's something that we have available to us now that could really expand your art career faster than just, you know, if you're limited in your locale of how many people and prospective clients you have.
So what are some of the strategies that have worked well for you on Instagram? So do you sell your work directly from Instagram posts, or direct people over to your website, or do a certain, you know, like you can do things like flash sales and painting a day and those sorts of ideas. What's worked for you?
I change it up too, because I'll see wonderful people do, you know, new ideas, and I glean information from that and you know, try and adapt them to myself and change. So I'm always changing it up. But the things that I have not changed, I try to stay true to posting quality content, good photos, and consistent posting. So, and that I will say has been affected more, I think, since COVID, because my artwork has kind of, I've gone through weeks, you know, where I'll paint and just do brilliantly. And then I'll go through a slump week and I can't paint anything. You know, it's just, it's not happening. And I think that's just, kind of a new rhythm for us right now. But that aside, I've tried to be consistent in my posting. You need to post quality photos of your work. I try to take my photos in natural light whenever possible. I take them outside. That's the best light for me. That's the best light that I can do to present the artwork in its true colors and detail. So you need to plan on that, you know, and figure out how to do that. I'm trying to think. Yeah, giveaways, they do okay. I haven't done really super with giveaways, as far as they don't seem to get a big response for me, but it just depends. I know that Instagram Live, people love those. They're really fun. I was very, very nervous about that at first, but I plugged in and turned on Instagram Live, and oh my gosh, hundreds of people start messaging you, you know, and talking and asking questions. And that's a really great way to connect with people.
Do you do those on a regular basis, or just whenever you feel the urge? You know,
just whenever I feel the edge. I, at the onset again of COVID, that's when I started the Instagram Live, and I was doing them more often, and I need to get back to doing them. It's my home situation's changed just a little bit because my husband's working from home now. And so until they open back up their offices and he goes back to work, that's kind of changed my whole rhythm. You know what I mean? When somebody's there with you all day, it's just a little bit different. But so I just kind of need to get back into that routine. But those are things you can play with. You can do stories and you can do live videos. I do YouTube as well. I haven't spent a lot of time on YouTube, but I've started adding little fun videos on there. That does complement your Instagram. People love to find you, you know, on different venues. So that's helpful. Hashtags. You need to do a little hashtag research, and it's super easy to find hashtags that work for you, your name, your city, and then, you know, your type of art. If you do floral paintings or abstract florals, and you can look on other people's Instagram and see hashtag suggestions. So you definitely need to include those on your posts and engage. I mean, that's a big thing on Instagram, is to make sure that you acknowledge people's posts with a like, or you know, I can't comment on everyone. You know that. You can't comment on every comment, but I do try to you know, give feedback where I can, here and there where I can.
So how much time do you reckon you spend on Instagram, and how do you balance it with your painting and the other aspects of running a business?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And it probably has that setting on my phone that tells me. but I probably spend an hour a day on Instagram. That's a rough estimate, but that's probably about as long as I spend on it. And I'm usually on there in the morning and then sometime in the evening. I don't like to stay on there too much in the morning. I'll post something, but I like to get painting. for my creative energy, I'm an early morning riser. I love to get up early, and the sooner I get to painting, the better. That's better. Afternoon is just a different vibe for me. That's usually when I work on journal, art journal pages, or something, you know, like that, something quieter, sitting down. My energy is ready at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready to paint, you know, on the canvas. So, yeah.
So do you get into the studios and paint canvases most mornings then?
Yes. And my morning routine, I get up, I have my coffee, and I do a handwriting journal, like a written journal. I do that every morning. And I think that just clears my mind and kind of sets the tone for my day. So it incorporates everything from gratitude to, you know, just things that are on my mind and what have you. So I do that first thing and get my coffee, and then I'm straight upstairs. My studio now is at my house. I used to have a separate place, and now it's at my house. So yeah, I just tootle upstairs and I'm ready to go, you know. So I hit straight up there, and I usually paint through, I'll come down for lunch, and then some days I paint till 4 or 5 in the evening. It's not usually later than that. I'm usually cut off by mid, late afternoon. So that's kind of my daily routine. And then I usually work on art journaling in the evening. At night, I'll work on my small little journals and doodle in those. But I'm out of the studio by 4.
Well, I find when I'm working on bigger canvases that it can be actually quite tiring. So, you know, sometimes you think of painting and it's all very relaxing, and I find journaling is very relaxing, like when I'm working at my table on smaller things. But canvases, sometimes by about 4 o'clock, I'm so wrecked.
I stand when I paint. I don't have enough room to lay out large canvases in my floor upstairs. I can do some cloth canvas, but I can't really get like a 4 foot by 4 foot canvas, or, you know, 1.75 meter by 1.75 meter canvas in the floor and really work around it comfortably. So I have 3 or 4 easels I have upstairs, and I do work in tandem. So I've got different ones going on at a time, but I have a mat, you know, that I stand on, that's a kind of a gel mat, because yeah, that's a lot of standing, and people don't realize how much paint it takes to cover, you know, a canvas that's that big. I don't think they realize it's a lot of work. Yeah.
I was watching a time lapse of another artist painting the very first layer on a big acrylic canvas and blending it with a brush. And whenever I watch those videos, I always think to myself, that's actually a lot of work, because when you see it on a time lapse, it's sped up so fast that it looks effortless and quick. But you know how thirsty a canvas is in that first layer.
That's absolutely true. And I really, when I paint, I'm really tough on my brushes. Like I rub the paint into the canvas. I don't like raw canvas in there. You know, I like it to really get the work, the paint into it. And yeah, that's like muscle development.
It's exercise for sure.
It is for sure.
So you mentioned there that you now have your studio at home, but you used to have a studio offsite. Can you talk a bit about that change?
So I had a wonderful offsite studio, but I found I missed being at home. Now I did it, and I did enjoy it. It was probably 10 minutes from my house, so not bad at all. But my cats weren't there. I know that sounds silly, but I have a companion cat, Birdie. Her name's Birdie. And she is with me. Like when I paint, she sits on my shoulders. I mean, she's hilarious. But it was just kind of, I was in this big warehouse room by myself, and it was just different. It just, I kind of missed just the comforts of home. And so we bought a house and moved houses in, the very end of January this year. And we found this wonderful house. It's got a basement and then a main floor. And it's got, I mean, I walked in and I went upstairs and the studio is right there. And I was just like, we knew it. I mean, I was like, okay, this is the house. Here's the studio. This is it. It was made for me and made for this. And so now I'm home and I love it. I love it because it's separate. So when I say there's a staircase that goes up to the studio, and that's all that's up there is the studio, nothing else. And so when I walk away from work in the afternoon, it's gone. You know, I don't have a mess to clean up. I don't have to deal with any thinking or fussing over a painting or anything later. Years ago, I painted in the dining room. And, you know, and that was fine, too. I did it. I did it for years. I had this monster table with a big tablecloth, and I painted on that. And it was great, too. But this is really nice because I have a space to, you know, to leave when I want to go away and just be done with it. So I like that. Like I said, my husband's working from home now. So that's just a little shift. I mean, I'll have my music up loud and he's on a Zoom call and I have to, you know, change a few little rhythms, but that's no big deal. And I love being at home. It's fantastic. I can do my morning things, come for coffee, you know, and go back up to work. And it's right here. So I'm very fortunate, very fortunate.
It sounds like you've found kind of that perfect balance where you have enough separation, but you've also got your home comforts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes. I can relate to what you said about your cat, because that was one of the things that I missed when we moved into our separate studio place. We have a cat and a dog at home, and I've always liked just having them around.
Yes. You know? And it sounds silly, but it's true. I mean, they really are my little muses, you know. And they all come up in the studio with me when I'm upstairs. That's where they hang out. And that's just, for me, that's comforts of home, and I enjoy it. So, yeah, I'm big on my pet, you know, creature of habit, I guess. So.
It's interesting chatting to artists, because it seems like we all go through many different phases, because I remember painting on my dining room table with my kids, like my son playing Lego underneath and building a fort and, you know, all those different transitions and how you make it work depending on your circumstances.
That's right. And I think we've all done that, and we're all seeing how adaptable and how resilient we are. You know, things have changed a lot in the last, 8-9 months in the world. And so I'm just seeing how all of that has come together. We moved at the right time into the right place. And it's just, we're very creative, not only in our painting, but in our lives. You know, we've come up with solutions and ideas, and we're making it. So I think that's exciting. And of course, we've done that too in just our regular lives, you know, from going to small children, and now I have grandchildren over. So that's a whole nother thing, you know. So I love it. Yeah.
So you mentioned as well before about how things have changed for you with COVID and the little shifts that you're making as far as your rhythms. And you said earlier on in the conversation that you'd had some periods where you couldn't paint, that you were going through a bit of a slump. And that's one of the things that I relate to a lot as well. And I've heard many people talk about that, particularly this year with all the stress that's been going on, how it can play out in your art practice. What do you do when you are feeling like that?
Well, that is a wonderful question. And number one, I have stopped beating myself up. I have that little inside voice, and I think everyone does. But I have that little inside voice that's just like, you know, your work stinks. You're not getting anything done. What's wrong with you? Why can't you paint? Have you? Is all your best work behind you now? Where are you going? What are you going to do? I mean, oh, I do. And in fact, some some workshop ladies were saying, oh, no way, you don't ever think that. And I said, oh, every day, of course I do. But I have learned to be more gentle with myself and my practice. And I've learned that some days it's okay not to paint. And some days it's okay to paint something ugly and go back and paint over it the next day. Those are things that I've had to stop, browbeating myself over. Why aren't you producing this? Or why aren't you handling this? Or why haven't you updated this? And that kind of thing. I've just given myself some slack because it's been an emotional time for everyone. And I know for me, anxiety, it comes and goes. And I think it's better now than it was months ago, but it is something I deal with. And I imagine most everyone is dealing with it. And sometimes I just have to sit down and read a book or go for a walk. I walk 2 or 3 times a day around my neighborhood, and I'm a big gardener. So I spend a lot of time in the garden, and we put in a new garden, during the summer at our new house, and I watch squirrels and birds. And so nature really, really is a balm for me. It heals me. When I'm not feeling inspired or I'm feeling pressured, a walk or a sit on my porch can shift gears for me in a way nothing else can. That's really helpful. Meditation as well is really helpful. So that's kind of how I'm dealing with the shifts and the changes. I'm trying to think. Was there a second part to that question?
No, you've answered it beautifully. And I love that you shared so honestly that you go through those gremlins and thoughts, just like all of us do, you know, that we're not good enough and, you know, will I ever paint a good painting or something that I like again? And I guess we're all human and that stuff just continues to come up.
Absolutely. And I think it comes up too because social media, and I know lots of people talk about it, but I'm going to say something anyway, because social media is a good thing, but it we have to keep it in balance, because if you start, you know, really building your art career on Instagram, set your timer and spend, you know, dedicate an hour a day to it and leave it the rest of the time, because it can get to where you feel like you've got to be on it every minute, and you compare yourself to other people, and you look at your artwork and you question what you've, you know, posted or what someone has said. And you need to be able to really keep it in check how much time you're spending on that. I don't think that we're made to engage with technology at the rate that a lot of people are doing so, if that makes sense. I mean, our minds weren't made for bing, 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 post, post, tap, tap. You know, that's not what nourishes our soul and nourishes our spirit and our mental health. I just think that's something, if you choose to do that, you can do it, but certainly make a time limit so that it doesn't become, you know, just a gremlin's a good word. And when I say I'm in a slump, yeah, don't feel, or try not to feel, discouraged or depressed. If you feel that slump, if you're having trouble creating, walk away for a couple of days, read a good series of books, or take a walk, or, you know, cook a pot of soup or something, you know, do something different. I think when I do that, when I disengage and come back, I have a whole new approach and a whole new outlook. That's how I deal with those days or those weeks where it's just not, you know, where I'm not feeling painterly. Yeah.
I love that phrase, not feeling painterly. It's taken me a long time to come to that realization that you've just explained, where art making, it happens in seasons, you know, that there are times where you don't feel creatively inspired. And I used to beat myself up a lot in those times and not realize that sometimes after the break there would be a creative explosion, you know, that it is this up and down process. And you mentioned that, you know, that then you come back and you see things from a different perspective. So sometimes you have to trust, don't you, that when you're feeling creatively flat or empty, that it will come back later on.
Yes, and not pressure yourself over that. I think we kind of go into panic mode.
Yes, you know? Yes, exactly.
Oh, am I never going to paint again? You know, and I mean, I do. I'm brutally honest. I totally do. And so that's the best thing for me is to get away, just get away and feed myself. Because what that's telling me is that I'm running on empty. That's what's happening. I think when I hit those slumps, I'm like, I'm running on empty. So I need to go refill. I need to refill on books, and I need to refill on nature, and I need to refill, you know, whatever it is that inspires and soothes me. And that's what we need to take time to do that. And then you go back with an explosion. And I was going to say something else, because you said, you know, when we step back or step away, and I want to tie that into something else. When you're painting, I laugh at when I video, because I can't believe how many times I back up and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I spiral out from the work and then back up with a mark and back out. And you know what I mean? Just forward and back. And that's something when you're working and you feel like what you're making is not what you want to be making. Back away or walk away, and maybe for an hour and maybe for overnight, because sometimes I'll look at something and I'm just like, ah, this is just awful. And I'll walk back up there the next morning with fresh eyes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really like this. It just needs a turn here or a, you know, a little this here, but I really like it. So we need to take breaks. I can get so, you know, so narrow into it that I lose the perspective and become hypercritical. And so that's a good thing to do as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful advice. And something that, you know, I can think of paintings where I wish that I had walked away.
Oh, how many have you overpainted them and just ruined? How many?
Oh,
I've done it.
Hundreds, you know.
Yes. Why didn't I stop? And that's why, oh my God, I have covered up some of the best things I ever did.
Yep.
Because I screwed them up, you know. But that's, again, a reason to step back and really look at where I'm at and where I want to go. I'm not a fast painter. A lot of people say, you know, if you're an intuitive painter, you've got to paint really fast. I am not a fast painter. At times, I get into a part and I can work quickly. But I spend a lot of time reflecting on the work. I mean, I sit down and I look and I'm back to it and I'm back again. So it's more of an interactive, you know, process for me. It's not just I just don't work that way, but I know different people work different ways. And I had one more bit to pop in there. When you need inspiration, or, you know, you're feeling a little in a rut, I've been taking classes online, and I'm getting ready to do one of yours, and I've been doing a couple of other classes, and that's a great way to get yourself out of your rut and learn something new and try something different. So that's been really helpful during COVID. I don't know how many. I've done little YouTube videos of people, and then I've taken some online classes. And that's a really inspiring way to get out of a rut.
Mm-hmm. And have you been taking classes that are similar or quite different to the kind of work that you do?
I am doing completely different. And well, I've done one or two that are similar. Quite similar. But I'm doing one now on portraiture, and I'm absolutely loving it. And so that's completely different. And you watch, because you were going to see that. That's going to be coming up on my Instagram. I'm having a ball with it. I'm loving the class. I wanted to do something completely different, because it's like I told you, I feel that shift and that transition. So I'm just branching out. I'm trying things that, you know, and I've been painting with three colors, you know, that's that's something new for me, let me tell you. You know,
have you shared any of your new kind of explorations on Instagram yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Let's see. Did I do? No, I don't think I have. No, I haven't yet, but I will.
Okay, so we can keep an eye out to see what you're up to.
Keep an eye out for that, for sure. Yes, yes.
So I wanted to talk a bit about the work that you make. It's hard on a podcast. I'm going to encourage everyone to go over to Instagram and your website so that they can have a look at your paintings. They're very bright, colourful, full of pattern, very fun to look at, and they make you feel very alive. So can you tell us about the supplies that you use and I guess how you start the process, a little bit about your work?
So I paint on both paper and canvas, and I don't have a preference. I love painting on both of them. I enjoy doing paper pieces. I do some bigger ones, but I also do some small paper pieces, and that for me is a great way to make affordable art for people. You know, not everyone can buy large canvases, or they don't have space, and so I love doing little paper pieces as well. And so I do on both. I use mixed media paper, and mostly I paint on either a Fabriano cold press paper or a Strathmore 400 series mixed media paper are my favorite papers. And on canvas, I do all larger works on canvas. I could count on one hand, I think, how many small canvases I've ever painted. When I say large, I started around 30 by 30 inches. So that's in inches. And I go up from there. And I paint on gallery wrap canvas, which, if you're not familiar, that's like an inch and a half deep framed canvas rather than a 3/4 inch deep. I like that because a lot of my clients don't frame these, or they'll frame them in a floating frame, but they don't warp. You know, they stay really nice and they look nice hanging without frames. But that's just my preference. I like the sturdiness of them. I'm really, you know, I'm not rough on the canvas, but I mean, I really work on the canvas. And so those don't fly around and, you know, and make a mess. So I work on canvas and paper. I use only acrylic paints. I painted for years with oils, but I am now, I'm a committed acrylic painter, just because the colors now are so much more vibrant than they used to be years ago. I love the selections of colors that we have in the acrylics. So I use Golden Brand. I use Nova. I use Matisse, Holbein. I don't have really a favorite. I do love golden paint. It's just the consistency is really nice. But I have favorite colors and different ones and, you know, whatever I find. So there's quite an assortment. And brushes, I buy whatever's on sale. And when brushes are on sale, I buy dozens because I really go through them. I wear them out, like, really. So, but I don't have, you know, I don't buy a lot of expensive brushes or anything. I have a few red lines, but other than that, they're just whatever I find at the craft store. And then I use fluid and heavy body acrylic. and high flow acrylic as well. So I use all of those and just a mix of them. And I use a lot of Posca paint pens. I love those. I used to do detail line work with a fine brush, a double-aught brush, and high-flow paint. And it used to take a long time. And so Posca pens really revolutionized some of the line work on my paintings. So I use Posca pens, and then I use graphite and Stabilo aquarelle pencils.
Some of my favorites there that you're mentioning, Posca pens, Stabilo pencils, love both of them.
I love all of that. And I have buckets of Posca pens. I can't even throw them away when they're empty. I like keep them. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know. But yeah, so that's pretty much my supplies, water bottle and things like that. And then my process is rarely, unless it's a commission piece, I rarely start with a vision of what I'm going to paint. Rather, I start with a color. And a lot of times I'll wake up having dreamt about a color or you know, I'll wake up and it's like this teal and magenta moment, or there's something, a grassy green. And that's usually what I start with. I lay that out on my palette, and then I just let my eye go from there, and I start pulling colors onto my palette and build off of that. So as far as having a plan in mind, I don't. And I usually activate the canvas, begin on the canvas, by making some marks with the art graph sticks or pencil or the woody 3-in-1 pencils. Those are fun, usually just to get it going, because white space can be intimidating. And I always teach at the workshops to get your pencils or your sticks and just get something down. Just get something on there first, because that's, once you get that canvas going, it just makes it so much easier to develop your piece. So once I've done that, Then I begin to add color to the canvas, and I usually lay in some darks and then come back over with lights. I'm thinking about this process while I'm talking. I'm like, I'm looking at a couple of paintings in here and I'm going, okay, now what exactly was I thinking there? I have no idea. But most often I usually have black and white toward the end of the piece. I usually get to the black and white details later. Now I'll have white areas, you know, but I don't usually have a lot of black or dark, but definitely we want that contrast in there. We want that movement, you know, so line work is one of my favorite things. I mean, you can look at most of my work and see that. And so I like to build in contrast with color on the line work, so light on dark, dark on light, but also the lines themselves, thick and thin and long and short, you know, wide, fat, side, horizontal and portrait. Practice, you know, if you're doing line work on any of your pieces, I urge people to keep just a notebook, any kind of notebook, and doodle, doodle, doodle. Because the best way to get confident in your line work is to write a lot of lines, make a lot of lines and shapes and dots and patterns, you know. And that's what builds your confidence, to where when you start in on a piece, you don't have to sit there and go, oh, I'm going to touch this onto the canvas. You know, it's like, oh, no, just slap it on there and get going, you know. And it's really fun.
Yeah, so it's a great way to build your confidence and come up with new ideas and explore different ways of making marks. Doodle, doodle, doodle. Yeah, whenever you can.
Yeah, and that's good for your mind too. That's a good therapy as well. So what I started doing, we were talking about the process. So when I'm finished, I paint the edges of my pieces and sign them. And I've been shipping anything larger, 30 by 30 and larger. I've been taking off the stretcher bars, and I'm shipping those in tubes because shipping is just, it's gotten really expensive. And so it's just so much easier, and they're quite easy to restretch. People love that. They've not had, no one's had a problem. They just have them restretched at their local framer. And so I get a lot of questions on Instagram about how do you ship your paintings? And that is how I ship them. Shipping anything, you know, 4 by 4 feet is just, I think it's safer for the painting in a tube than it is in a flat box, even packaged, you know. So that's what I've been doing as far as shipping goes.
And do you approach working on paper or in your journals the same way as you approach a canvas, or is it a bit different?
The paper, I usually do a layer of paint on the paper right off. And it can be just a neutral color. It can be whatever. But I usually coat the paper with a layer of paint. I love to get the body from the paint onto the paper, if that makes sense. So once I get a coat of that acrylic on there, the paper, I mean, it feels different. You can tell you've added this body to it. And then I begin to add layers of paint and mark making on that, rather than approaching the paper with marks first. And sometimes I do, but that's probably not my regular, you know, my routine is more to get paint on the paper first. Now, in my little journals, and I work on a little journal that's about 4 by 4 inches. I have a few different sizes, but they're really small. And in fact, I had started back at the beginning of COVID. I did a 100-day Color the World 100 challenge on Instagram. And it was the first one I'd ever done. And I had not even been a really consistent art journaler. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it for me. I'm going to do it for followers. We need something to focus on, you know, that it's going to be positive. And I learned so much just journaling for 100 days. I did a Posca-Pen line drawing, and then I would use markers. I did a few that had paint and pencil, but most of them were Posca-Pen and Tombow markers. And boy, if you want to challenge yourself, set off on something like that. It really pushed me. 100 days is a lot of days of journaling. It's a lot of days. But I really enjoyed it.
Did you do the days consecutively, or was it just 100 days in total?
No, I did them consecutively.
Wow.
And I think I missed one or two in the 100, you know, and I'd have to post the next one on the next day. But that's okay, because everybody was behind me. They were all like, I'm on day 47. You know? But it was so fun to see people and to see so many different interpretations of just this one little prompt, you know. And I didn't make it complicated or anything. It would be like, pick a flower in your backyard. You know, we were all very homebound. So it was like I was trying to do things, you know, do your cup of coffee or tea. Journal this or that. And so trying to do things at home, and it was fun. There were a few days it was really challenging to come up with something, but for the most part, it was really fun and brilliant, really exciting.
And what did you take away from that you were able to then bring into the painting that you usually do on canvases and pieces of paper?
Well, the first thing was that I learned what a complement a small art journal practice can be to my larger work. And I learned, too, that consistency in my journaling is as helpful as consistency in my Instagram posting. That really made a difference. The accountability and the work, it paid off in that sense. I also just gained confidence. And you think that, you know, oh, I've got that part down, but I don't think that you ever do. I'm always shifting. And I think that the journal work gave me even more confidence in approaching a canvas. I learned, you know, I can take this and just go. I don't have to hesitate, and I can really trust my instinct and approach my line work, you know, with that loose abandon that I want to affect in my work. So it was a very good experience.
So have you kept up with journaling since the challenge finished?
I have. And in fact, I just got another journal. A lady hand makes them, and they're just fabulous. But I just got another one, and I'm getting ready to do another journal challenge. I'm just trying to figure out this one. You know, the holidays are coming, and so I'm thinking to do maybe just a short one, like a dozen days or 15 days, just to get people started. And I'm going to do another one. I really, really loved doing it, and it was fun to go back through the pages. In fact, I did a 15-second, it's a super speed video of just half of the pages. And it's so fun to look back at what you came up with. I mean, it's just amazing. That's 100 little pieces of art. I mean, that's crazy. And so I'm trying to decide on the next one, because I think it'll be kind of fun and get us geared up for holidays and winter here and whatever, you know, whatever's coming. I think we're going to be doing a lot from home here as flu season comes and COVID's going up in the area where I'm at. So I'm, you know, just, I'm still home and staying home and thankful to be able to.
So what's the best way for people to find out about that challenge once you set it up, if they want to join in?
I would love to have people join me. So what I will do is I will post on my Instagram story and on my Instagram feed, on my regular feed, I will post before the journal challenge begins, and you'll see it, and you can join anytime. You don't have to start on day one. A lot of people ask, you can pick up on a later day, and you can make up the days if you want to, or skip them, whatever works for you. This is for fun. It's fun. It's free. And I will just post a picture with a little prompt, you know, like today we're going to use red and green in our journal page. It's just a little something to get you going. So you can watch on my Instagram for that, and I will post journal challenge, and I'll come up with a fun little name for it, you know, but we'll do that again. Yeah, so you can get started and grab any notebook. You can do the journal challenge in a spiral-bound notebook. It doesn't matter. If you've got some paint pens, if you've got a ballpoint pen and some watercolor, you can do it.
Well, that sounds brilliant, and it's making me want to jump into my journals right now.
Oh, you're so inspiring. I am so thrilled to be able to visit with you, because your work inspires me. And I'm starting a series of Oklahoma wildflowers and landscapes. And so I was like, oh, I'm so excited to get going on that. And your work is such an inspiration. So I really enjoy it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming onto the podcast. And you've provided such a great insight into so many different things. You've talked about your process, your approach to Instagram, dealing with creative blocks and slumps, and being gentle with yourself, and journaling. And yeah, it's been wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And if anyone has any questions, you can always message me on Instagram. And my email is on there as well. And my website contact is on there as well. So feel free to contact me if you have any questions about anything.
And with this episode, as with all of the episodes, I do put together show notes. So anyone will be able to pop over to the episode and see your art and the links to your website, your Instagram, all of those good things. So I want to make sure people do hop over and check you out over there, and also over on Instagram and wherever you are, YouTube, your website, all of those places.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast. I absolutely loved this conversation. It was such a great reminder to be gentle with yourself as you create. And just before you go, you know what I'm going to say. I want to give you that last reminder that the Black Friday sale is happening right now. Head on over to laurahornart.com/classes for all the info. And one more thing, the most important thing, don't forget to like and share this podcast episode. You can tag Janet in your stories. Her Instagram handle is @JanetSkatesArt. So I'll just spell that for you. It's JanetSkatesArt. And sharing an Instagram story is such a lovely way of saying thank you to the artist for coming onto the podcast and inspiring all of us. I hope you have a wonderful week and that you'll tune in and join us next time.